The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
It's a rarity that I get to appear on one of the leading podcasts on William Hill, but this is one of those rare occasions. It's Dave Kellner here with Darren the Wizard Owen sitting opposite me, staring me down from that side of the studios. We get set for Thursday's racing action. I do hope you've enjoyed listening to William Hill Racing Radio over the last couple of days, and I'm delighted to announce that the Wizard is here with me now. Good afternoon, Mr. Wizard.
Good afternoon, Mr. Kellner. You've been working really hard today. Makes a change.
It does make a change. I'm not used to it.
No.
I think this cold that's occurred at the moment, I've got a little bit of a chesty cough. I think they call it a chesty cough. And I think that's because I've actually had to do something this morning.
And you seem to be sweating profusely now.
I am sweating profusely, yeah. I'm not sure I'll run my race here.
It's below par, definitely
below par.
Par
effort. Yeah. I'm happy to be here on the racing podcast.
Are we all happy to be here?
Racing podcast. one piece of breaking news and one piece of news that broke a while ago that we're going to just talk about here. We'll start off with the breaking news.
Right.
And one of the big pieces of breaking news this morning is that King George, or Sprinter Sacra, will not be entered for the King George. Many people thought it was on the agenda following his champion chase win that they'd go a different route this year. But Nicky Henderson's told people to stop talking nonsense, basically, and get him out of the betting because he won't be entered for the King George. Are you surprised by that news?
Not really. No, not really. I mean, he proved himself over 2.5 miles last year by winning the Melling Chase at the national meeting. But no, I'm not really surprised. I mean, why do we always want more? You know, you've got the best 2 miler we've seen in many a year, many a generation, probably.
Because it's boring, that's why.
So why do we want more?
Well, I'll tell you why. It's because it's boring watching him win all these races.
But, you know, there's lots of good races for him to go for before he gets to the spring festivals. You know, he'll probably start off in the Tingle Creek, which is a Grade 1 race and worth mega bucks at Sandown.
Yeah, 1-6, 1-7 for that, do you think he'll be?
But he'll be a very, very short price, but he'll be a joy to watch jumping those railway fences at Sandown. And then he'll probably go for the big 2 mile chase at Ascot in January, the Grade 1 there.
Yeah.
And then it'll be the festivals. I wonder if there's anything. He'll probably have 4, maybe 5 races during the course of the season. But they're here for the taking. And, of course, Henderson's got an embarrassment of riches. He's got one or two other horses that could be primed for the King George. He has said he won't contemplate running Bobsworth in the King George because Kempton just wouldn't be his track. The horse is better off going left-handed. And he's a horse who wants a test of stamina. You know, going right-handed around the speed. We associate Kempton as being more of a speed track. It is a flat track, totally different test to Cheltenham. So he reckons that will go against Bobsworth. It'd be interesting to see where he goes with Bobsworth. I wonder whether he'll aim Bobsworth at the big Grade 1 at Leopardstown over the Christmas period.
Possibly.
Leopardstown be more his track than Kempton. And Simon Sigg's been touted as a possible for the King George.
That's the obvious one, the likely one, I think, because he'd like to keep those two apart for as long as possible, wouldn't he?
He's a horse, though, with plenty of speed. You know, because Nicky Henderson said, if he doesn't go for the King George, what for him? Probably come up against Sprinter Sacra.
Yep.
But he's a horse with plenty of pace, is Simon Sigg. But he has won over 2.5 miles of hurdles, remember? He won the Neptune hurdle at the festival a couple of seasons ago. So, you know, it's early days yet. There's a bit of shuffling to be done in the pack. But no, I'm not surprised that Sprinter Sacra won't be going to Kempton on Boxing Day. And fair play to Nicky now at this early stage to come out and say he won't even get an entry. So punters at least know where they stand.
Yeah, they do. They do. I can see it from both sides. I know you're saying, listen, why should this horse? He's one of the best 2 mile chasers we've ever seen. Why should he go over a longer trip, just because of, just for sporting reasons. That's what
I understand. I understand your point of view as well. But you know, you've got to think about this. Kempton, it's middle of the season. You wouldn't want to bottom the horse if the ground came up soft. No, and again, if the ground came up soft, you probably wouldn't run him anyway in soft ground over 3 miles. Yeah, I can understand what you're saying, but I can understand the tack being employed by Nicky Henderson.
We talked about the same things when Frankel was around.
We did. You know, that's why I refuse to state that Frankel was the best I've ever seen. He was the best miler I've seen, and that's as far as I will go.
Okay.
And that's me being controversial now. Mm. You know, I've seen some great middle-distance horses. Frankel only had one tilt at a mile and a quarter. Okay, he won. Won impressively. But I wanted to see him more over middle distances. But that's it. Yeah, we do want more. But in this case, I totally agree with the Henderson team.
Okay, moving away from National Hunt Racing
before we move away from National Hunt Racing, let's just pay tribute to Direct Route, if we may, because he sadly lost his life.
He did.
He was 22.
He had a good innings.
He was in retirement. I remember Direct Route probably for that epic duel with Edward on Blur at the Cheltenham Festival. It's interesting that Simon Holt's actually quoted as saying that he cringes every time he listens to the commentary because he actually squeaked at the end of the race. And I actually stood next to him because I was his spotter at Cheltenham that day, and he did squeak, but it was an epic duel, wasn't it? But Direct Route, he won a couple of runnings of the Melling Chase at Aintree. He was a grand servant for Connections. Mm. Yeah, so let's pay tribute to one of the top 2 mile chasers.
Speaking of grand servants, Jim McGrath finishes up on Saturday with his final commentary gig at Ascot, a guy that almost changed the face of racing commentary.
I think you're wrong there. Not almost. He did change the face of race commentary. I remember going racing as a youngster in the early 80s when I was a teenager, many moons ago. Then wanted to become a racing commentator. I was fascinated by the job, and we used to have the old school commentators, no disrespect to them, but they had a totally different style. It was that the delivery would be perhaps a little on the deliberate side, a bit slow. And then all of a sudden, there was this guy, Mr. J.A. McGrath, came on, and we had, you know, he's home for all money, I reckon, and scraping paint and all the rest of it. And I thought, this is great. This is a breath of fresh air. He had rhythm, he had pace, he had colour. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful transformation of the art of race calling in the UK from the old bread and butter style to this new generation excitable style.
He was painting pictures with words.
And then the generation of commentators you've got today basically have followed suit. They've listened to Jim from those commentaries in the 80s. Certainly my generation of commentator, we listened to Jim. We were fascinated what he was doing and how he was doing the job, and we picked up on some of his one-liners, and he just changed the face of race calling. He revolutionised British and Irish race commentating. What I would say, Dave, is the Australians were a couple of decades ahead of us.
Yes.
Definitely a couple of decades ahead of us with their race commentators.
Is there a commentary of his that stands out?
I think in recent years I enjoyed the See the Stars. Perfection in equine form
in
was
the
closing line
in
the 2009 Arc de Triomphe. I enjoy it. He got really excited when Amberley House won the National. In 2004. I just remember listening. My first experience of Jim McGrath commentaries was, again, as a teenager, listening to him on RT Radio. Because that's where he had his first job. It was in Ireland. He was brought over as the resident commentator at the now defunct Phoenix Park.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think John Magnier, Robert Sangster, they operated the Phoenix Park, and they brought Jim McGrath over as the resident commentator, and that's how he started. And he got gigs for RT Radio, and it was just listening to this guy saying that. They go into their judge now with a circuit to go, you know, I thought, oh, this is great, this. He doesn't sound bored.
No.
You know?
It's an infectious accent, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. The accent helped.
Yeah.
But, no, he's been at the top of his tree. And at the end of the day, you think about this. BBC no longer cover racing. Only two people have held that number one position as race commentator at the BBC. One was Sir Peter and two, Jim McGrath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, fantastic, fantastic. And we wish him well. Do you think will he miss it? Obviously, you know him very well, very close friends with Jim McGrath. Will he miss commentating?
Oh, no doubt. His last commentary is actually going to be on the Melbourne Cup for Radio 5.
Right.
This week at Ask, it's going to be his last UK call. But he will do one more Melbourne Cup for Radio 5. No doubt he will miss it. Yeah. And, you know, this is a guy who started off calling them in Hong Kong in the early 70s. He couldn't get a gig in Australia. That's how competitive it is in Australia and was then.
Mm.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at Thursday's racing action then. We wish Jim all the best in the future. You've picked out three races at Haydock and one race at Salisbury. Coincidentally, those are the races you're previewing for the TV pieces as well.
Yeah, makes life easy, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? The 2:30 at Haydock is your first pick, or your first pick is in the 2:30 at Haydock. This is a handicap over a mile, Wizard.
Yeah, and we've got a mix here of established performers and lightly raced three-year-olds. I've got two against the field in this one-mile handicap, Dave. There are 13 runners set to go to post. My two against the field, one is an established performer and one is a three-year-old. The three-year-old is Paradise Watch, trained by Luca Kamani in the mount of Kieran Fallon. This horse makes its handicap debut on Thursday afternoon. It won a maiden race at Salisbury. A bit of a horse called It's Taboo. That horse actually franked the form at a fairly low level, admittedly, at Force Last the other day. Went off a mark of 71. So Paradise Watch is definitely one against the field. And the other one against the field is a horse I've been waiting for the last two or three weeks, and it's a more established horse. It's a six-year-old called Fazza. Now, Fazza is trained by Edwin Tewer. He's an excellent handler. He gets some good results from the small string of horses he has. Paul Mulrennan's had a very good season. He's on board. Fazza is the six-year-old. He's carrying 9 stone 2. Gets weight from the three-year-old Paradise Watch. And this horse, I remember seeing this horse run at Thirsk a month ago. And it had no run whatsoever. It was basically a wasted run.
Yes.
It was on the inside, and the jockey just couldn't do anything in the final furlong. The horse is capable of this sort of mark. In fact, he has won off a higher mark. So they're the two against the field, Fazza and Paradise Watch. And I'll take a chance with the older horse, Fazza.
The 3:35 at Haydock is the Duke of Lancaster's Regiment Cup Handicap. This is a Class 2 contest over the extended mile and three furlongs. And this is even though we've only got five runners here, this is a good-looking race, this Wizard.
It's a tight race, isn't it?
It really is.
It's a tight race. I mean, and what a season Fennel Bay's had. He's had a busy old season. 16 starts. He's never owned Fennel Bay. He's had 16 starts, but he's won three times.
These Matt Johnson horses can do that.
They can do that. They're tough as old boots, that middle mare, isn't it? Joe Fanning on board, the master tactician from the front, Joe Fanning. Luca Kamani's got a big say here with Mankini. Kirsty Milchreck on board. Mankini certainly in good form, winner of its last two races, though has climbed in the weights. I think it's gone up £10 since his last win, and another one has gone up since his last win, gone up by £9 is Venue. This is the one I like, another hat-trick seeker, trained by Lady Cecil. Ryan Moore on board in the colours of Khalid Abdullah, son of Beat Hollow, appreciated the step up to a mile and a quarter last time, a course and distance winner, and despite that rise of £9, I think there's more to come, so I'll go for Venue
in the hands of Ryan Moore. Lady Cecil coming to the Cecil stable, coming to its end.
Yeah, end of an era.
Another end of an era. Yeah,
end of an era. When
it's sad, isn't it? I expected it probably to happen, but it's still sad.
And when it does happen, it's still a shock. It's when you think of all those great equine performers that have been stabled at Warren Place. It's got a major part in British racing history.
Hopefully.
Be interesting to see what happens now.
Precisely. If a new owner comes in and immediately takes over at Warren Place.
I'm thinking maybe a Middle Eastern-based owner.
Maybe. Not heard any rumours, any news. I've not seen anything either.
No.
The 4:05 at Haydock is a condition stakes race over seven furlongs. Wizard, six runners here. Set the trend at the top of the at the top of the weights, just conceding weight to the rest of the field. Set the trend.
Well, if you're at the top, you're normally conceding weight.
You are. And yeah. Just this is conditions where it's not a handicap.
Okay. Sorry.
Kieran Fallon riding set the trend.
He's got two in the race, isn't he, David O'Meara? Set the trend actually won the race last year with stable jockey Danny Tudhope on board. It's interesting that Danny's actually on board the other runner, and that is Smarty Sox. Smarty Sox was down the field in a very good race, very good handicap at the Knavesmire recently at York. Just looking at the ratings here, one who comes out favourably, if you look at the BHA ratings, is number three. That's the Godolphin-owned runner. That is Fire Beam, trained by Charlie Appleby. SDS Sylvester D'Souza takes the ride. The horse had a couple of runs earlier on in the year at Maidan. Didn't do much there. We haven't seen the horse since. But this horse ran against some decent horses. It ran in some decent races last year. Comes out favourably in the conditions, so they can bounce back to what it showed last year. I think that might be the one to be on. That's Fire Beam.
And finally, just switching tracks to Salisbury for the 3:45 there. Best race on their card. A listed race for the fillies. And six runners here. And another strong runner for Lady Cecil.
And a winner for Lady Cecil as well. This is one of my notebook horses from Royal Ascot. It ran in the Albany Stakes behind Kiyoshi.
Are you saying this horse is going to win when you say a winner?
Yeah. Well,
that's confidence. That's confidence. I can't knock you.
It actually beat Wedding Ring in the Albany. It finished a couple of places in front of Wedding Ring. It's only about two lengths between them. But this horse, Joyeuse, didn't get the run the race in the Albany. Was doing its best work at the finish behind Kiyoshi. That's very, very strong form. Another one to consider would be the top one there, trained by Eve Johnson-Horton. That is Alu Teak. It's been highly tried in terms of the races it's been running in. And Lilborn Lass, of course, you've got to respect Lilborn Lass. The pacey Lilborn Lass has been really busy for Team Hannon and Hughes. But I'm going to go for Joyeuse, third outing. I think it'll be a winning outing. Ran really well in the Albany at Royal Ascot.
Good stuff. Superb. We'll leave it there.
You sound surprised.
We'll leave it there. It's been an entertaining time talking to you this afternoon, Wizard, and we'll be back. Go on.
And may I say it's been a pleasurable time talking to you, Kellner.
We'll be back live on Racing Radio for all the action on Thursday. Make sure you stay tuned. Check out all the podcasts at williamhill.com/podcasts, and we'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.